Secretary of War Edwin Stanton leaned over the bedside of his good friend, Abraham Lincoln, and, tears spilling down his cheeks, spoke the memorable phrase, "Now he belongs to the angels, or the ages." No one is quite sure which word, angels or ages, Stanton uttered, but each works poignantly well. Many were likely surprised by Stanton's sobs and his eloquence. Most knew him as hard, implacable, and gruff. He barked out orders to his inferiors. He kept the lamps burning in the War Department all through the night, and he'd organized the Union Army with precision. His long beard trailed down to the middle of his chest, as if he had no time to bother with a barber, and he took exercise by standing at his high desk for as many as 15 hours a day. He was so devoted to the War Department, in fact, that people were likely not surprised 3 years later when Stanton assumed center stage during the impeachment controversy. Of all people, though, President Lincoln might have understood best what motivated his Secretary of War. For if Stanton had ever unburdened himself, it would have been to his chief executive. These two men, Lincoln, tall and lean and genial, Stanton, shorter, squatter, and far more volatile, were friends. Wrapped in a plaid shawl and with his hat pulled down over his forehead, during the war, Lincoln would walk over to the War Department and sit in the small room next to Stanton's office, where Lincoln kept a desk. He and Stanton waited, each of them anxious, for telegraph dispatches from the many fields of battle. Sometimes they relaxed together, occasionally driving north of the city to the leafy retreat known as the Retired Soldier's Home, where the Secretary of War, like Lincoln and his family, escaped from summer heat. "These men truly loved each other," said Representative Henry Dawes, who knew them both. Edwin Stanton had also shared with Lincoln grief of a more personal sort. Like Lincoln's boy, Willie, Stanton's young son had also died in 1862. But Stanton mainly sought relief in work, and unlike Lincoln, always appeared to be on guard, shouldering sorrows that acquaintances only sometimes glimpsed. After Stanton's father, a well-liked physician, had died suddenly in 1827, the 13-year-old Stanton took charge of the Steubenville, Ohio household that included his mother, his brother, and his two sisters. He completed only 1 year at Kenyon College, but studied law in the office of his guardian, becoming the sort of brilliant attorney on whom nothing was lost, and who left nothing to chance. He prepared cases with a meticulous, even furious attention to detail, and he argued with aggressive, often insolent vigor. He might insult a witness or a judge, or tell the opposing counsel to quit whining. A stocky, broad-shouldered man with brown, sharp eyes under steel-rimmed spectacles that he often wiped, he was not an easy person to like. And there were a great many people who did, in fact, dislike him. As Henry Dawes would recall, Edwin Stanton was also prone to despond. When he was 22, he married Mary Lamson, and after the burial of their firstborn daughter, Stanton disinterred the child and placed her remains in a metal box that he kept on the mantelpiece. When his wife died not long afterward, Stanton was 30. He stopped eating and sleeping, and in the night would rush from room to room, lamp in hand, crying out, "Where is Mary?" Not long after that, Stanton, learning that his brother Darwin had cut his own throat, ran to Darwin's house, where blood was pooling on the floorboards. He then raced out into the freezing cold in such a hurry that friends, fearing for his life, coaxed him back and stayed with him until he calmed down. Stanton took responsibility for Darwin's family, but never seemed to recover. "I feel indifferent to the present, careless of the future," he said, "in a state of bewilderment, the end of which is hidden." Yet Stanton's law practice was thriving. He moved to Pittsburgh, where he argued on behalf of the state of Pennsylvania before the Supreme Court to prevent a bridge from being built across the Ohio River. Because, Stanton claimed, it would prevent tall steamboats from traveling under it and thereby restrict interstate commerce. The case dragged on for almost a decade, and though Stanton technically lost, steamboat travel continued. Then, in 1856, Stanton married Ellen Hutchison, a woman from a wealthy Pittsburgh family and Stanton's junior by 16 years. Though Lincoln's secretary, John Hay, described her as white and cold and motionless as marble, whose rare smiles seemed to pain her, the marriage seems to have been happy in spite of Stanton's working long hours and his even longer absences. Attorney General Jeremiah S. Black had appointed Stanton as special U.S. counsel to inspect alleged Mexican land grants in California. During his protracted stay in the West, almost a year, Stanton immediately learned Spanish to gather the documents scattered throughout the state, or that were allegedly lost, and he exposed several bogus land grant deals, one of which actually claimed ownership of San Francisco. In early 1859, he returned to Washington, where he had moved his family and built an impressive brick house, three stories high, on the north side of K Street. He was a prosperous, sought-after man in a country about to break apart.